Well, it's a joy to be in camp meeting tonight. I appreciate the Lord allowing us to be back here in this place, and certainly I love camp meeting. I preached last week in the Pine Mountain Baptist camp meeting in Hudson, North Carolina, an old-fashioned meeting up there. Been going 54 years, and so this is my kind of crowd. I appreciate that youth choir tonight. What a blessing that is. What blesses my heart tonight is look over this tabernacle. Half of the people here are young people. That's a blessing because the contemporary crowd like to make you think that they've got them all. Amen. But I'm glad there's still some young people that are being taught the ways of God. And I'm old-fashioned, make no apologies about that. Praise the Lord. And I like what the preacher said, long after they've unplugged the fog machine, the lights blowed in the strobe light, and all the women in the praise bands outgrowed their tight blue jeans, old-time religion will still be marching on. Amen. Hallelujah. You can quote me on that. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Appreciate His goodness. I appreciate these men of God. I know some. Most of you I don't know personally, but I trust that the Lord will bless us to have fellowship this week. You got to watch some preachers, what they tell you. You just don't know. Some of them like to have a good time. I had a preacher friend of mine recently. Hadn't seen him in a good while. From up in the Bristol, Virginia area, Brother Dewey Williams. Anybody knows Brother Dewey? He's a good preacher, good man of God, but he likes to have fun as well. And we were sitting around talking one day, and he began to talk about various different things that's going on in the country. He said, "Have you heard the latest on the drug craze that's going across the nation?" And I said, "Well, no, I haven't heard." He said, "You're not going to believe what they're doing now." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "They're drinking brake fluid to get high." I said, "Really?" I said, "Man, that's horrible." He said, "Oh, it's not too bad. They can stop anytime they want to. Praise the Lord." So anyway, you got to be careful with some preachers. Praise the Lord. Amen. I guess you got to get on something. Get on something you can stop anytime you want to. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, amen. Well, it's a joy to be here tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 3, and I'm going to give you a simple thought tonight. It won't be long before you. 1 Samuel chapter number 3, and I want to read starting in verse number 1. The context of the scripture I'm reading tonight is concerning the priest Eli, of course, in the temple, and Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And if you study the life of Eli and you study the story of Eli's life, it is a tragic story. When you think about this priest that was in the house of God, the Bible said his sons were doing things that weren't pleasing unto the Lord. The Bible called them sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And Eli even rebuked them, but they would not listen to him. And God sent a judgment upon the house of Eli. If you study it, if you think about it, it's a very tragic story tonight. And when you think about that, matter of fact, in the chapter number 4, Eli, of course, died as the two sons were killed in battle against the Philistines. The Ark of the Covenant was taken by the enemy, and Eli fell off the seat backwards, broke his neck, and died. It didn't stop there, though. Eli had a daughter-in-law, Phinehas, his wife, who was expecting a child. And the Bible said, as she bare the child and gave birth to the child, they named it Ichabod, for the glory had departed. That's a tragic story today. But I want to look tonight in chapter number 3, in verse number 1, and I'll read 3 verses, and I'm going to give you the thought for the message. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, and Lord, I ask you tonight that you'd help me in this place. Without the aid of the Holy Spirit, all is in vain tonight. Lord, I thank you for the good singing. I thank you for the good crowd on this Monday night meeting. Lord, I pray that you'd just continue to help us all week long. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight that we might receive the Word of God with gladness. And Lord, may we find our place in the message tonight. God, speak to every child of God that's here, every church member that's here tonight. Father, I pray you'd speak to them. Lord, if there's those that may be unsaved, would you speak to them tonight as well in this meeting? And Father, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen tonight. Hearing the Word of God, as I've already said, I've told you a little bit about the story of Eli and his sons. Of course, a very tragic story. But I really want to focus in these verses here. The Bible tells us in these verses. Matter of fact, the Bible said this, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days." And the Bible says, he comes down in verse number 3. And the Bible says this, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord." I begin to think about that very thought. Here's the man of God in the temple. He's there. And the Bible said that his eyes had begun to wax dim. And no doubt there was a lot of things that Eli, as a matter of fact, the Bible said he was 98 years old in the next chapter. And it talks, as a matter of fact, a couple of times about the fact that his eyes had waxed dim, and here he was, and the light is going out in the house of God, and he doesn't even recognize it. You know, I begin to think about, you know, I believe we're living in a day that in many places, I believe today, that the light is getting dim, and the sad reality of it is, in many places, they don't even recognize it. I mean, they're having church every Sunday morning. They'll come back. A few of them will come back on Sunday night, and they'll talk about how wonderful everything is, when all the while, many times, the witness and the presence of the Holy Spirit is not there manifested openly, because there's been some things that have been let go. There's been some things that have been neglected, and the light is slowly going out in the house of God. You say, "Preacher, when will the light go out?" Well, there's three things here in this passage. Number one, when there's no message from the Lord. The Bible said the Word of God was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Let me tell you, you know what's killing most of our churches today, where the light's going out? There's no "Thus saith the Lord." I tell you, we get a lot of preaching today, and we've added a new book to the Bible called the Book of Opinions. And we turn to chapter 1 and verse number 1, and we preach that. But what we ought to be preaching is what this blessed book says. Amen. Listen, I got nothing else to give you tonight. It's all this book tonight. If we're going to get help, we're going to have the Word of God. And thus saith the Lord. Amen. I mean, we're living in a day people don't like the preaching of the Word of God like they used to. But let me tell you something right now. You show me a place where they love the preaching of God's Word, and I'll show you a place where the light's still shining. You say, "Preacher, what else will happen when the light's going out? There'll be no message from the Lord. Number two, there'll be no movement in the sanctuary." The Bible said Eli laid down in his place. He'd have made a good Baptist church member. Because that's exactly where most of them are at today. They have laid down in their place. Let me tell you something right now. If you want to keep the light on at the house of God, I'll tell you the best way to do it is just keep moving and doing what God would have you to do. You show me a church where there's never any movement, hardly ever any movement in the altars, hardly ever any movement in the prayer room, and I'll show you a place where the light is going out. I don't know about you. We're living in days where it seems like people won't move like they did in days gone by. But let me tell you something right now. If you want to keep the light on in the church you attend, if you want to keep the light on, you better understand this. If you stop moving, you stop growing. If you stop moving, you begin to die. If you stop moving, the light is slowly going out. I was preaching a meeting early this year, back in February, in West Virginia. Pretty good church, about 150 people, and I'd been there before, and I got in there on Monday night. I just felt God touching my heart, and I said, "Lord, I feel like you want to do something this meeting." I got in there that night, pretty good sized crowd. Preached my heart. I mean, God plugged me in. Now, I know when God plugs me in. And I was plugged in that night, preacher. And I was plugged in real good. And I said, well, I'm going to give this invitation. I'm excited to see what's going to happen in the invitation, because I knew the witness of the Holy Ghost had been on the preaching. And when I gave the invitation, I was stunned that night. I mean, about 150 people there. I gave an invitation. I'm preaching on revival and on who needs revival and how we need help. And when I gave the invitation that night, the pastor got up and he came to the altar and he bowed down over here. And there was a young man sitting over here, and a lot of people would consider him maybe mentally challenged. And he got up and came to the altar. And out of a crowd of about 150 people, that was only two people came to the altar that night. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost all over the preaching. I mean, I preached on revival. I thought, well, Lord, maybe it'll take a while for it to sink in almost. I came back the next night, preached, and it was the same thing. Nobody moving, nobody doing nothing. Wednesday night, I'll be honest with you, I got frustrated, aggravated. Now, I told him, matter of fact, after I preached and gave the invitation, wasn't no movement. It was over, and I never do this. I said, preacher, can I say one more thing? He said, yeah, help yourself. I said, you folks are going to have to forgive me. I said, where I preach, I said, I'm used to people moving in the altar every time the man of God preaches. I said, there's always somebody in the altar, no matter what's preached. I said, I'm not used to folks just standing and looking at the man of God. You said, you didn't say that. I did say that, and I was about half mad when I said it too, praise the Lord. I said, you drug me all the way up here to preach, and then y'all not interested in anything? And I came back in on Thursday night, and I thought, well, it's going to be better. Got in there, and it seemed like it was worse on Thursday night. I had done shut the invitation down on Thursday night, and I was getting ready to turn it over to the pastor. And all of a sudden, there was a little woman in the back of the church stood up, and she started walking down the center aisle with both hands raised in the air, wailing to the top of her voice, saying, oh God, I'm sorry. Oh God, I don't want to hinder revival. Oh God, I've been sitting here with a heart that's cold. And God, I've been sitting here all week. And when she came to the altar, she fell in that altar. And her husband came and they were weeping tears. And the next thing I looked up, the altar was filled with people weeping that night. It was such a good move, the pastor didn't know what to do with it. Matter of fact, he just turned them loose and sent them home. I thought, well, it was pretty good. Came back in on Friday night, and I didn't think I was going to get to preach. They were testifying before the choir ever sang. The choir began to sing, they began to testify. And all through that service, God began to move. Let me tell you something right now. If you want to see God do something, then why don't you get to moving? Amen. We're expecting. Listen, we expect God to move and we're not willing to move. Amen. I tell you, I'm glad we can keep the light on. Hallelujah to His name. I'm glad we can keep the light on. Oh yeah, when there's no movement in the sanctuary, when there's no message from the Lord, and when the things of God matter not to a younger generation, the light will go out. Hophni and Phinehas, they didn't get it. I mean, they just didn't get it. And I see a lot of young people today that their old mom and daddy knew what it was to walk in the old paths, but a younger generation just hasn't picked up the mantle. Oh, yeah. That's why it grieves my heart. He was talking about that dear lady that supported this camp meeting, went home to heaven. Every time one of them old saints of God leaves off the scene, you see, us pastors understand what a huge hole that leaves in a congregation, because we ain't raising up too many of them prayers in these days. And we're not raising up too many of them shouters like them old saints of God were. And it leaves a huge vacuum and it leaves a huge hole in the local church. I don't know about you. I say, praise God. Raise up some. Teach them the old ways. Hallelujah. I'm glad God will keep the light on. Amen. But you do realize it's not always easy to recognize when your light's going out. I was in a revival meeting in Burnsville, North Carolina,
which is about an hour and 45 minutes from my house, and I was driving back and forth each way, and I had a preacher friend of mine that found out I was over there, and he called me and said, "Preacher, would you like to have a riding partner one night?" I said, "Sure, be glad to." Brother Chuck Stouch, his name, pastor's in Bristol, and he met up with me, and we drove over that night. I was driving my, I had an older Lincoln at that time. It was about 12, 14 years old, but had it run good and everything, so I, you know, us preachers, we put a lot of miles on cars, so I just buy a good used one, wear it out, and then trade it in for another good one, praise the Lord. But anyway, we was driving that Lincoln that night, and got over there, had a good meeting. I'd preached, everything was going good, and at the end of the meeting, we was fellowshipping. Matter of fact, a singer friend of mine, Sister Isla Knight, songwriter, her and her husband had come. She had sung that night. Sister Isla wrote that song, "I'll Live Again," over on the other side, and a lot of them classic songs down through the years. And she sang that night. She's probably 70 years old now. But she sang that night. But anyway, we're getting ready to pull out on the highway. We'd said our goodbyes, and they were in front of us. And that night, all of a sudden, they pulled up and stopped. I had asked Brother Chuck. I said, "Brother Chuck, I'm tired. Would you drive tonight?" He said, "Be happy to." So he's driving. I'm in the passenger seat of my car. All of a sudden, her husband gets out, and he walks back to where we're at, and he looks. I thought maybe they forgot to tell us something, and he looked. We rolled the window down. He said, "Hey, I don't know if you know it or not, but you got a headlight out." Well, see, I didn't know it. I'd been driving that car in meetings. I'd been driving in dark roads. At night, I had been driving for weeks. I just thought, man, my eyes are just bad. I knew everything was real dim looking, but I'd been operating on the journey with half light. And I didn't even know it. I said, "Thank you, Brother Mel." I said, "I'll get that thing fixed tomorrow." I said, "I appreciate you letting me know that." So we pull out on the road. We're headed back, and we got within 30 minutes of my house over around the Boone, North Carolina area. We're going up the hill, and all of a sudden, here comes a state trooper right by us. And I'm like a convict. When I see a state trooper, I get a nervous twitch. When you travel the roads as much as a preacher like me does, I have had fellowship with them in several different states beside the highway. Some places they pull me over, they just say, "Where you at in revival this week, preacher?" I mean, I just get a nervous twitch, and I looked in my side mirror when he went past us, and sure enough, I seen him turn around. Brother Chuck's a preacher too. I said, "Brother Chuck, did you see that state trooper?" He said, "Yeah, I did." I said, "I bet he's going to come and pull us over for that headlight." Sure enough, that fella came up behind us. We turned off. All of a sudden, here's blue lights. I said, "Brother Chuck, you see that?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You better pull over." I'm reaching in the dash to get my registration and everything. I've got it all real handy. You think I'm joking, praise the Lord. There was one time, I had tickets in three different states in one month. Now, two of them was bogus.
Oh, yeah.
One was legit. Amen. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've had some bogus ones, ain't you? Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, here I am, and that guy, and I said, "Brother Chuck," I said, I rolled down the window. Hey, Brother Chuck got a real sick look on his face. He said, "Preacher, there's something I need to tell you." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I ain't got my driver's license." He said, "I left them in my car. I didn't know I was going to be driving." I said, "Great. Day in the morning, this is getting ready to get interesting." He rolled out in the window, and the state trooper said, "Sir, I'd like to see your license and registration." I said, "Well, officer, I got the registration right here." But I said, "We got a real problem with those driver's licenses." He said, "You do?" I said, "Yeah, let me explain." I said, "I'm a pastor. I've been preaching revival meeting in Burnsville." I said, "This is a preacher friend of mine. I asked him to drive, and I didn't know he'd left his license in his car." He said, "Well, I'll tell you, give me your name." He said, "I'll run you through the computer." He went back, and he came back up, and he said, "Now, preacher, I've got to write you a warning ticket for that." He said, "You know why I pulled you over?" I said, "Yeah, we just found it out 30 minutes ago." I said, "I've been driving this car for probably weeks, maybe even months with a headlight out, and I've known it all 30 minutes and didn't get back to the house before somebody pulled me over. That's the way it works with me." Anyway, he said, "Well, you got to get that fixed." I said, "I'll do it." He looked at Brother Chuck. He said, "I can't find nothing on you in the computer." I said, "Lord, I don't know all about that." He said, "Well, I'll tell you one more. I'm going to let you go." He said, "Y'all be careful going home." We later found this out. Brother Chuck didn't know it, but his license had expired. That's why he couldn't find him in the computer. But God intervened and helped us that night. But I begin to think about that. Here we were operating on the journey with just half the light that we're supposed to have. Can I say to you, there's probably people came in here tonight, and you came in here and you think, boy, you came in, we're going to shout it out at camp meeting, and all the while you came in with one light on and you got another one that needs to be dealt with. Let me tell you something right now. I'm glad there's a God that'll help us. Sometimes it's not easy to recognize when your light's gone out. You say, preacher, what is it when your light's gone out? What is it makes it difficult? Just remember this. You can tell your light's going out when your vision is not what it one time was. The Bible mentions a couple of times in this passage about Eli that his eyes had waxed dim. You know what the problem was? He didn't see things like he one time did. That's what's happening in a lot of churches. They don't see things like they one time did. They used to stand on the preaching of God's Word, but they've got a new enlightenment in these last days. These fellas have come along and they've enlightened them on some things. And boy, they say, you know, I used to think like you did and I used to preach like you did, but I just don't see it that way anymore. And that's what's causing the light to go out at the house of God. Let me tell you something right now. Where no vision is, the people perish is what the book says. Now, it's easy to get a vision when you're a young preacher and you're getting ready to take the world by the tail and, man, you want to win everybody to Jesus. But buddy, when you've been camped out in one place pastoring for 20 some years, it's hard to keep your vision fresh. But every now and then, men of God, we got to ask God to help us renew our vision, renew our fire, and revive us. Hallelujah. Help us keep the light on. Amen. I've been in the pulpit that God's blessed me to be there. This has been a 21st year, and I'll be honest with you, as a young preacher man, I had a vision. But I got to looking around and I said, you know, wait a minute, I've been here 20 years, but just because God's accomplished some great things don't mean I don't have to have a fresh vision for this year. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, you say, preacher, when your vision, you see, I had equated not being able to see the road because of my eyes. I said, I'm getting a little older like a lot of folks. And, you know, take it easy on these older folks. That happens as you get older, that people say, I can't see to drive at night. I feel their pain. I'm beginning to get there. I've got to that age group now that, when I pull up at the drive-thru at Hardee's, they don't even have to see me. They go ahead and give me the senior discount on coffee. And so when you get to that point, I was insulted by that the first couple of times it happened. Then I got to seeing how much money I was saving. I said, hallelujah, glory to God. Sign me up. Amen. Can I say, let me tell you something. When your vision's not what it one time was, your light may be going out. Amen. Number two, I'll tell you, when your light's going out, it's when it's no longer new to you. That car of mine, I had made every excuse. I said, well, them old headlights, those lenses have been on there a while, and it wasn't a new car. It was an old car. And you see, I was making excuses for why the light was going out. You know what will happen to you is when it's no longer new in your life, that's when your light will begin to go out. I read over there in the book of the Revelation, we told him, he said, you've left your first love. Yes, sir. He said, do the first works again. Every now and then he'd help you to get back into some of them old paths that you used to get in when you first got saved. Oh yeah, every now and then when I feel like the lights are dimming in my life, I go hunt some of them old praying grounds. When me and them preacher boys would get together, we'd get out there and, man, pray and go wild for Jesus. I get around those and I tell you, it'll help you, preacher, amen, when it's no longer new to you. I've got a friend of mine. He was an alcoholic for most of his life. He's a wiry little fella, loves Jesus. You mentioned Jesus a couple of times, and he'll shout if he's on Main Street, don't matter where he's at, he's the same everywhere you see him. He's an unusual fella, and he called me one Saturday night. He's not out of our church, he's from another county, but he called me, hadn't heard from him in a long time, and he called me on a Saturday night and said, hey, Brother Leonard, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. Dean, how you doing? He said, I'm doing good, man. He said, I figured you've been busy in meetings. I said, yeah, I've been real busy. He said, I wanted to ask you something. I wanted to run something by you, see what you thought about it. I said, all right, what is it? He said, well, preacher, I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm coming up on 20 years of being saved. He said, my spiritual birthday, 20 years, is coming up. And he said, I got to thinking about that thing. And he said, preacher, people's all time having birthday parties. And he said, I got to thinking, why couldn't I have a spiritual birthday party? He said, I asked my preacher, could we use the church on a Saturday night, maybe get some choirs to come in and sing and have some preaching? He said, I may even give some door prizes away. I said, Lord, don't let word get out. Baptists will be there from several different states if you're going to give away something. He said, what do you think about that? I said, I'll be honest with you. I've been pastoring a Baptist church for 21 years. Preached in several hundred revival meetings, and you're the first one that's ever come up to me and said, preacher, I'm so happy I've been saved 20 years. I want to throw a party, invite all my friends. Amen. You know why he wanted to do that? It's still new to him. Amen. Hallelujah. He hadn't got over it. Praise God. Some of you done got over what God's done for you. But I'll tell you, if you're going to keep the light on, you're going to have to get back that newness of what God did for you. Hallelujah to his name. Your light's going out. Light goes out when your vision's not what it one time was. When it's no longer new to you. And I'll tell you when the light will go out. It's when you get acclimated to the dark. You see, I'd been driving that car of mine, and I'd been operating with half light, but I'd gotten used to that. Matter of fact, I had acclimated to driving with one headlight. I thought that was normal, what I was doing. When all the while I didn't realize that I was operating with half the light that I was supposed to have. I got used to it. I think about that old song old Peg McCamey sang years ago, getting used to the dark. We're getting used to the dark. We're not praying to change any hearts. We're just getting used to the dark. That's what I'd done. I'd gotten used to driving. Here I am poking along at night, trying to see the road, trying to get back. And all the while, I didn't realize that if I had my light on like I should have, it wouldn't be near as hard what I was trying to. Let me tell you something right now. Some of y'all think, boy, it's hard living for the Lord. Get your light on real good and it won't be. Amen. I'm glad He'll help you. Praise God. Amen. You see, here I was and acclimated to the dark. But you know when it would really bother me? Here I am, I'm comfortable with one light. I'm poking along a little old dark road, and man, everything's good in my little world. And then all of a sudden, one of them new vehicles will pull up on your bumper, and most of the time it's a four-wheel drive truck with about 9 headlights on the front of it. And the glare is so bright that they get up on your bumper, and here you are poking along with your little light just about out, and here's that fella behind you, and the glare is so intimidating, you get to thinking, man, I wish that guy just go on. I wish he'd pass me. I mean, that guy's kind of annoying. Oh, you know the reason you get annoyed by it? Because his light is brighter than yours. That's why when you go to church and some young convert, every time he goes, he wants to testify. Every time he goes, he got to do something. And you got some of that crusty old crowd sitting over there with one headlight saying, do they have to let him testify every service? Do they have to do that? You know what the problem is? His light's shining brighter than yours. Amen. I'll tell you, it's time we quit getting used to the dark. It's time we got, hallelujah, our light on for the glory of Almighty God. Yeah, it bothered me, man. That guy's lights are bright. And he probably passed me and says, and yours ain't, boy. You need to get that fixed. Amen. You know how it is when you pass someone on the road, got one headlight, you look and say, man, that guy right there, he needs to get that thing fixed. Amen. Anybody can see it when you got half light. You ain't hiding it, friend. You ain't hiding it when you pray that dry church house prayer that you pray. You're not hiding the fact that you don't go to the prayer closet anymore. You're not hiding the fact that you never get in the glory anymore. You can't hide it when your light's half out. When your vision's not what it one time was. When it's no longer new to you. When you grow comfortable with the darkness, and then last of all, your light may be going out when you ignore all the warning signs. You see, I had plenty of things really to tell me that my light was out. My eyes were telling me something. Finally had somebody tell me. But what happened when I got pulled over, 3 days before that, I was at home. My son came by off his lunch break from work and ate lunch with me, and we were there, and we were walking out. Sun's shining. My car's sitting in the driveway. And as we walked past my car, 3 days now, mind you, before I got pulled over, my son walks past him, and he stops and looks, and he says, "Hey, you know you got a funny-looking headlight?" 3 days before I got pulled over. He said, "You got a funny-looking headlight." I said, "Yeah." I said, "That's an old lens and got some condensation in it." And I said, "I made every excuse in the world." I said, "Yeah, it's all right, though." But you know the warning I didn't ignore? When I got pulled over by a higher authority. I mean, my son said, "Hey, you need to do something about that." Some of you may be here and your mom and dad's been telling you, "You need to do something about that the way you're doing, and you need to do something about the way you're acting, and you need to be," and you're just ignoring everything they say. But I'm going to tell you what you won't ignore. It's when the Holy Ghost of God flips the blue lights on you and says, "It's time to get it fixed." Amen. When that state trooper looked at me and said, "Sir, you need to get that fixed. You got to let me know you got it fixed." I said, "Officer, I'll get it fixed. I'm going tomorrow." I said, "I'm not going." Listen, I said, "Money's no object. I've got deacons. I'll borrow it off of them." I said, "I'm going to get that thing fixed." I went down to the auto zone the next day. I said, "Listen, I need a headlight." I said, "No, forget that. Give me two headlights." I said, "Matter of fact, I want new lenses. I want everything." I said, "I'm getting tired of having fellowship with them fellas with blue lights beside the road." I said, "I don't care how much it costs. I'm gonna let my deacons take care of it." And I said, "Let me tell you something. I'm getting my light on." Hallelujah. Can I say to you, praise God, I wouldn't leave this week without getting my light back where it needs to be. I wouldn't leave without letting God do something for me. Hallelujah to His name. I don't know about you, say, "But preacher, everything seems pretty good in my life." Well, I thought it was in my car too, till the higher authority showed me there's something wrong. I don't know about you, but let's do our best to keep the light on for the glory of God. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for allowing us to be here. We thank You for how You've helped us tonight. Lord, I know these are good folks here tonight. Lord, these are folks that love You, good churches that are represented here. But Lord, I also know that the light can slowly begin to go out. And Father, I pray, would You help us all? Lord, just draw us close to You. Help us, God, that we, Lord, we'd maintain those things in our life that we need to. And Lord, I pray as You point out those things in our life that we need help with, God, would You let us draw close to You that You might fix them, Lord, and that You might help us as Your people. And Father, we'll give You praise as we stand tonight as they get ready for an invitation. Heads bowed, I want to ask you, has God spoke to your heart tonight? Maybe you're here and say, "Preach, I want to make sure the light stays on in my life. I want to make sure it stays on in the local church I attend. Preach, I don't want to be one of them just sits back, but I want to be one of them movers in the house of God. Preach, I want to be one that listens to God's Word and receives His Word with gladness. Preach, I want God to help me to pass it down to another generation." I want to ask you as they begin to sing tonight, God, speak to your heart. Come on tonight. God, speak to your heart. Just come on. You're here and you need to be saved. Come on up here. Somebody pray with you tonight. How about it tonight? God's speaking to you. Oh, yeah. Do you want to keep the light on tonight? Hallelujah. I'm glad you can. Just let God help you tonight. Oh, yes. Oh, praise His name. Oh, praise His name. Yes, thank the Lord. Yes, praise His name. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Thank God.